is Alan Rodriguez.
Okay, if you could just hold one moment, the Honorable Mr. Jensen, Mr. Honorable Mr. Michael Jensen is going to serve as the lead for your hearing at this time, sir. For the next one, you will hear will be the Honorable Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir. Could you just please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Yes, my name is Alan Enriquez, 262001.
Okay, sir. We're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to the board members that are conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable David Mills. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. My name is Michael Johnson, sir. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us today, sir, representing the Department of Correction as well as a parole officer, is Mr. Westby, sir. Mr. Enriquez, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form that advised you of this hearing today, this board's hearing today. You recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
On that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
I'm representing myself.
Okay. Sir?
Question, did my family show up?
Yes, sir, you do have some family that is here now. I was just going to get to that, okay? This time, sir, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Westby in. I also want to check, your mother's here. You have your mother, Ms. Olivia Enriquez. You want to testify, Ms. Enriquez?
So I will be testifying I'll be speaking on both of us. My name is Abigail on there. So wasn't she gonna speak?
Okay, so
it's Abigail Jasmine.
Abigail Jasmine Saucedo?
Yes.
So Ms. Saucedo, are you the only one that's gonna be speaking? Okay. So I'm gonna swear all three of you in at this time, okay? Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so confirm.
Thank you.
Mr. Ricky,
do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Saucedo?
Thank you.
And Mr. Westby?
I do.
Okay, Mr. Enriquez, your hearing is going to be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated.
Excuse me.
We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have four allegations listed on your warrant. I'm going to read each of those allegations to you. When I read the allegations to you, sir, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting, Mr. Enriquez?
Yes.
Okay. The first allegation on your warrant states that you in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on or about June 8, 2018, per the task GCMS line report dated June 18, 2018. Sir, is that true or false? Okay, the next allegation on the warrant states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 19, 2018, per the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 5th, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. The third allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 7, as demonstrated by your use of morphine on or about June 8, 2018, per the task GCMS lab report dated June 18, 2018. Sir, is that true or false?
True.
Okay. And then your last allegation states that you're in violation of Arizona Condition of Supervision Number 3, as demonstrated by your use by your act of changing your place of residence at Vivian Abbey House, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about July 19, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Sir, is that true or false?
False.
False. All right, so where would you say that allegation number four is false? I want to go to the parole officer, Mr. Westby, to get some additional information.
On July 23, 2018, Peter Borrego received a notice of non-compliance email from the Vivian Halfway House stating that on July 19, 2018, a Federal Enrique case, ADC number 262001, failed to return to the property located at 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. He was off-site for more than 24 hours and returned to Vivian on July 23, 2018. This officer did not give the offender permission to change his residence. From July 19, 2018 through July 23, 2018, the offender's whereabouts were unknown. On July 25, 2018 and July 26, 2018, Peter Borrego attempted to make contact with the offender via telephone and was initially unsuccessful. After Peter Borrego emailed V-Ray staff informing about the offender's failure to report to Western Regional Parole by 0830 hours on July 26, 2018, the offender sent Officer Borrego some text messages stating that he would be reporting to WRPO as soon as possible. Also attached to the warrant is a copy of the discharge letter from V-Ray Housing stating his discharge for away from the residence.
Okay, so Mr. Enriquez, what's not true about that?
I never changed my address. I reported back on the 23rd. My intentions weren't to change address, nothing like that. It was I was in the hospital at the time, which I had my badge to that. And I had what Brable called. My uncle had answered and let me know that I was in the hospital. You know, and I would get back to her, which I did. You know, yeah, I admit I wasn't in compliance at the time.
Okay.
You know, but I was in the hospital at the time during that situation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Enriquez. I'm going to make a motion based on the admission of Mr. Enriquez and allegations 1, 2, and 3, and based on the information contained in warrant number 2018W2158, and information obtained from the parole officer, Mr. Westy, as well as the letter. On the board attached to the warrant from V-Ray, I am going to make a motion and move to find that Mr. Enriquez did violate the terms and conditions of his supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second. Agreed.
Motion by myself. Second by Dr. Wright. Agreed. Mr. Neal. Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Westby. Then we're going to go with some information with you in the warrant. And then we're going to give you the opportunity, along with your supporters, to present any information that they'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay.
Mr. Westby.
On March 30th, 2018, Mr. Enriquez was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested July 26, 2018 by ADC staff, noting charges. He was back in DOC custody on July 26, 2018. With a projected community supervision end date of August 30th, 2019, 0 scon days. Current conviction, 2011, for running prison contraband, 1.5 years. Prior conviction, 2011, burglary, first degree, 7 years. 2011, narcotic drug violation, 7 years. This is his first term in DOC, CUIO score 33, mental health score 1, substance abuse score 3. STG gang information notes, he's a member of the Homedale Hispanic Phoenix Criminal Street Gang and New Mexican Mafia STG suspect. He has no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs noted, under arrest. There's only been one other arrest that was in California, where no charges were filed. His community risk score is a G5B6.
Okay, so I see that when you were released on March 30th, you were released to a community supervision with an approved placement at 4026 West Maricopa Street in Phoenix with your mother, Miss Olivia Enriquez. And then from March, looks like April 26th through May 3rd, you were sanctioned and residing at the Maricopa Reentry Center located at 24601 North 29th Avenue following your continued drug use. Then you were directed to establish a report on June 19th to view the halfway house located at 2501 West Elm Street in Phoenix. Says that your whereabouts were unknown from July 19th, 2018 to July 23rd when you left V-Way without the parole officer's consent and no other address changes have been made or approved for you at that time, sir. Where were you at during those days, sir?
I was in the hospital. I went in on 19 and got discharged and went back in there because of the pain. So I stood there until the 23rd. Once I got released from there, I went straight to the halfway house.
So what were you doing in the hospital?
I have a hernia, and I didn't have access, so I couldn't get that surgery done. And now that my girl, my wife, now she put me in her insurance to be able to take care of that.
Okay, so it says that you reported that you were working for two companies, but you failed to provide any employment verification. So were you working, sir?
Yes, I was.
Where did you work at?
I worked on this between 7th and Broadway and 39th and Buckeye.
What were you doing?
At a warehouse. First job was at a warehouse, shipping boxes for pizzas to different companies, and I was a laborer for a welding company.
A laborer for who?
For a welding company.
Okay, it looks like I'm going to go through some of the programming that you actually had. Looks like you had some programming that was March 30, you enrolled in TASH, a random color code. You were assigned the color of pink on April 24th. You were positive for heroin and morphine. And it looks like on April 24th, you were assigned the color, was changed to brown, and then it looks like on May 7th and May 9th, you failed to report to TASH. And then TASH GCMS confirmed that you were positive for morphine on May 10th and May 24th. Of 2018, then it looks like on June 8th, 2018, the results confirmed that you were positive for morphine and methamphetamine. Then it looks like on June 21st, you failed to report to TASH, but on June 22nd, your results were negative. And then on July 12th, 2018, July 19th, you failed to report to TASH. Cynthia advised at no point did you have any documentation confirming being on any prescribed or administered morphine. Says that your PO received a fax regarding you being hospitalized from May 9th, only referenced the date and time of discharge of 21-20 hours. It was only provided 1 or 4 pages. Was therefore unable to verify the date and time that you were admitted to the hospital due to the circumstance of offender's failure to provide a UA remains unexcused. It looks like on April 24th, you advised that you would be referred to Vivray for the 90-day RCDM program following your completion of a 7-day sanction. On May 4th, your mother, your sister, and your girlfriend all met with your supervised PO at the Western Regional Parole Office to discuss your health. They expressed concern about you being mandated to establish residence at Vivray Halfway House for the RCDM program and not having access to adequate medical care. They also stated that they were very high, there was a very high probability that you would be scheduled for surgery soon. The parole officer supervisor gave permission for you to remain in your, at your mother's residence until your medical concerns were resolved. By the time that your health had improved to the point he could be participating in the program, you had already tested positive for morphine on May 10th, May 25th, and tested positive for morphine and methamphetamine on June 8th. Your PO referred you to the 90-day RCDM program at Vivray on June 19th. And then you left the Vivray program without consent on July 19th. You were sent into a 7-day program at MRC. So there's quite a bit of information in here. So basically, I understand that you were hospitalized on that date. I do see that your family did bring in some information that they brought in. So, Mr. Enriquez, tell me what was going on. You continued to use drugs. You had cocaine, methamphetamine, morphine. What was that situation that created all of that, sir?
I got out of prison. I got out with a habit. I had a problem, you know, but I'm trying to better myself. I know I could be better. I got a baby on the way, so I messed up, you know, this is a big eye opener for me. I mean, I've been programming in here. I've been doing what I can just to stay away from everything. I've been compliant in here. I've been taking substance abuse classes. You know, I'm done with that life. You know, I'm trying to change my ways. I mean, I admit that I messed up. I had a problem. I had a drug problem. And just my family leave me out there, man.
So, what was the, were you doing drugs? Have you been doing any drugs since you've been in prison, sir? Been back in prison?
No, I haven't.
So what caused you to relapse, sir?
Just a lot of stress, you know. Just stress. I was just lost. I was heading down the dark road, you know. I couldn't, it's hard out there to adapt, you know, it's just hard. It's not easy being, you know, the time I did it now. It was hard for me to adapt out there in society. But, you know, getting a little piece of this again, just a big eye opener.
So what was your drug of choice, sir? So what's your current medical condition, sir?
Right now I haven't been picking up no. I'm trying to stay away from all heavy stuff like that, so I can't get the help that I need in here. If I am getting injured in here, they're not gonna help me out in no way of getting me out of the programs. So I stay away from working out, picking up heavy stuff, you know. just been in their re-study program.
So it looks like that, according to the information that we have in the warrant, that you continue to use drugs the entire time that you were out. Is that right?
That's right. I was out medicating myself.
All right, Mr. Meekers, let me see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Not seeing any additional questions coming from the board, so I'm going to go to, and I do want to put on the record that that your mother, Ms. Olivia Meekers, is here, that your girlfriend, Ms. Salcido, is going to speak on behalf of your mother and your family. So, Ms. Salcido, if you want to come up now and speak, please just state your full name and then present any information that you'd like to present to the board.
Good afternoon, my name is Abigail Salcedo. So, you know, I did fax over and as well multiple times, and I bring over the documents of hospital days when he was in the night. From the 19th, he got discharged, and then from the 21st, we went back to the hospital. He stayed there only because the medication that when I told the doctor, I was like, well, he is on parole, he's not able to, you know, take any medication, high dose medication. So, and if there's any way that we can keep him here, so they can like rate his numbers of, you know, his pain. So they did, they kept them there, and we did a report to the halfway house. We contact them every time we try to contact them to let them know that Alan was, you know, in the hospital. It kept going to voicemails. We couldn't leave voicemails because they were packed, like it was full. So, you know, I got, you know, the documents, stated them, everything was, you know, submitted there. You know, he couldn't take the medication, so they kept them there, and we couldn't get him a surgery only because the access wasn't applying to it. So what I know my half was, because I'm employed, I do work, I added him to my insurance plan so it could be cheaper for him, and as well he can get the surgery, you know, as soon as possible. So we did that. We stated all of that. You know, fortunately, you know, he got arrested before my insurance accepted him into my insurance for us to get the surgery. So they had to release him on the 23rd because we couldn't give him medication, couldn't give him surgery, anything like that. So he got released, and he went back. And well, we took him back to the halfway house. Myself took him back to the halfway house. We did get released late at night from there. So he reported himself there, you know, that's, you know, that. But, you know, me speaking up for his family, you know, it's very important for him to come home, you know, to the family. His parents, as you know, they actually are ill, they're older, they have nobody at home, just, you know, just him. And, you know, right now they are going through some medical, you know, difficulties. Of dad, you know, dad just actually had two strokes prior, you know, just recently, you know, so I've been taking time off work to be able to help them, you know, so, you know, they at least have somebody there, you know, like, honestly, Ellen can be arrested, they don't have anybody there. They only have, technically themselves, you know, their daughters, they work, you know, they have their family. Ellen was the only one that helped them, so, you know, it's important for us to, you know, release him, and as well the documents, I myself took upon myself, I actually submitted the paperwork so I can get the arrest warrant so I can see exactly what the accusations were of him being arrested. And I see here that they said he never reported him being employed. And I actually went down to both jobs that he worked in, and I got, you know, the verification for employment at both facilities that he worked there, as well as if he was to be released, you know, they have an opportunity to give him a job there, either or at whatever he desires to work at, either being at the welding company or at the pizza box packing. But, you know, he has as well that opportunity, you know, to have a job. He was working, he was doing really good, you know, being, you know, the only thing is that him going to the hospital because of the hernia and was not able to get him medication, and him not being able to, you know, get the surgery because he was not, I guess, Access wasn't applying, or he didn't submit any paperwork to Access for them to get, for him to get approved with Access.
I understand about him missing, but what about he's just been continually on drugs since he's been out, morphine, methamphetamine?
Well, some of the medication that he was on was actually the medication that they gave him from the hospital. So when he went to the hospital on the 25th of April, they did give him medication. And I did, I actually had to go to the pharmacy to see if they can actually print out of the medication. So they actually did do that. I submitted it to you guys that he was taking that medication. He did report to his parole officer, and his parole officer told him not to be taking that medication because it would come out dirty on his UAs, you know, so he did stop taking that medication, but again, on May 9th, he had the, again, you know, the pain, so he had no choice to take it, you know, exacerbated with pain where it was throwing him to the bed, you know, it was hurting him, so he took the medication. So some of those medications, you know, is the world, some of the UAs that come out dirty is the medication that he was taking within the time of the hospital. And that was actually before me and him actually started actually dating. We actually started dating a little bit after, what, May or something. So when I took him to the hospital, which was the 19th, I let them know, you know, because I know one thing is that being a pro, he cannot be on drugs, you know. So I let them know, well, what medication are you giving him, because he can't, you know, take the medication. So the doctors did give him just ibuprofen from the 19th. Well, from the 19th to the sole one, he was that. The other, you know, I've seen the reports, you know, on here of the UAs, and honestly, looking at them, they're because of the medication that he was taking at the from the hospital. Because I looked it up, you know, I'm not really, you know, familiar, you know, for orders with me, but I do go online, and I was checking to see what medications it was that he came out dirty from, and it was actually the medications that he was on from, you know, the medication that they gave him at the hospital.
Okay, I'm just looking, going back to some of the paperwork. I mean, he was on a methamphetamine and heroin too, so
yeah, that
wasn't part of the other medication. Let me see if the board has any additional questions for you. So no additional questions coming from the board. Thank you, Ms. Acido. Okay, Mr. Enriquez.
Yes.
So the board is coming up on a conclusion of the hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion?
I would like to say, you know, apologize to the board and apologize to my family for putting them through this, you know. But like my girlfriend's pregnant right now, and I got three other kids out there, you know, plus hers. So I would like to be, you know, role model to my enemies, I mean, to my kids, you know. I know I messed up, you know, but I gotta take a second chance. I know I can do better. I know I can. You know, I'm done with that life. I put that aside. You know, I turn my life around. I turn myself to God. You know, I just need a second chance. I can prove my family. I can do a lot better out there, you know, in society. This is a big eye opener for me right here. Prison, not how we meet. You know, I know the support I got out there. I'll stay out of trouble. You know, support my parents. You know, they need me out there. My girls, they support. You know, and I know she can help me out in whatever I need. I'll get into programming. If I have to get to programming, I mean, I'll follow up. Thank you guys for your time.
Okay. Mr. Enriquez, the board's going to go into a discussion. So while the board's in discussion, I'm going to ask you to remain on the line so you can hear the discussion taking place. However, sir, I do need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion. The board's now going into discussion. Mr. Enriquez does have the support of his girlfriend as well as his family that are here with him today. However, I do understand the issue of Mr. Enriquez being hospitalized for the abdominal pain that he was actually having. We do have some medical records and documentation that he was hospitalized during some period of time, but he has continued before and after his release to continue to do drugs, use methamphetamine as well as cocaine. He missed that he does have a drug problem, that he has to get that drug problem under control so that he could try to assist his parents as well as his family. He says that he has his girlfriend's pregnant and he has two other kids that he actually has that he wants to, three of the kids that he needs to try to help take care of. However, I think Mr. Enriquez is going to be better off if he remains incarcerated, if he's very sincere about getting himself together, get involved in any drug programs or rehab program while he's there, and get it to a point where he's rehab, except rehabilitated off some of the drugs that he has that heroin and methamphetamine. He has some very, very strong drugs to actually get off of. I'm not supportive of him being taken off of community supervision at this time. However, I do feel that if he's sincere, then he can get involved, take AA and get involved into some drug programs, work with his CO3 so that when he gets out, he could be a productive citizen and not do drugs. That's my opinion.
Okay.
Therefore, I am going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Enriquez, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and had lapses about to lapse into criminal ways and company as he did start to use illicit drugs, cocaine and heroin. That would be my motion.
Second. Agree.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Mr. Neal. Agree, Dr. Wright. Mr. Enriquez?
Yeah.
Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. And sir, if you're sincere, and it sounds as though if you're not wanting to live that life again, and you're sincere, sir, get involved while you're incarcerated to get involved into some drug rehab programs, work with your CO3, go to NA. AA meetings so that you will take this time that you have left remaining to get yourself together and get involved in any educational programs that you can so that when you are released, sir, that you could be the father of your three kids and be the remote role model that you say you want to be. So it would start out with you taking that effort to actually take the time and do it. You will be released on August 30th. 2019, sir. You will be released at that time. You won't be on any parole or community supervision at that time. So I do want to thank you, Mr. Enriquez, for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board, sir. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. If you would put the CO3 back on the line.
Yes, sir. We are ready for the next one, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.